Thank you, Dr. Camp. The man he introduced couldn't be here today, so I came, okay? Oh, my, what a blessing to be here with you folks today. I've looked forward to this. Dr. Camp, thank you for inviting us to be with you in your missions conference, wherever you are back here. And then for being invited to speak here in chapel, I'll tell you, this is a great privilege, a great honor. We've got a lot of folks praying for this service today. I appreciate so much Dr. Miss Comfort. I remember when Mrs. Comfort, we were in some service somewhere together, and she told me that her husband was burdened about starting a Bible college. And man, what a great blessing that was. And then to see how it all developed over the years, now the Lord's raised up Dr. Bill to be the president. What a gracious man, what a great man he is. Dr. Surratt, Dr. Scoville, of course, Dr. Cummins out here, the Dean of Students, and just a lot of this faculty and staff, I'm sure I don't know, but I want you to know I appreciate you. I've learned this about Christian education. If you don't mind me just visiting with you for just a few minutes before I preach, I'd appreciate that. Just some things as an older man, I'd just like to share with you today some of my burdens and some of my concerns that I think you're going to be the answer to. I really believe you will. But you who have given your life to teach these young people, God bless you for it. I've learned that nobody pays a greater price in Christian education than our teachers, our faculty does. I salute you. Thank you. God bless you for what you're doing. You're investing your lives in the lives of these students, and I'm sure that you'll reap eternal dividends off it. I want you to know that there's great needs out here today. You get beyond the community of the academic here, and many of you do. Your testimonies this morning, thank you for that, for the singing. What a great blessing. But there's some great needs out here today in our country and around the world. And I believe that I'm speaking to at least part of the answer to those needs. There's some great opportunities out here today. There's two areas that are going to need to be addressed here real soon. And you preachers are the ones that I believe that God will be the one to fill these. Number one, church planting ought to be one of our number one priorities. That ought to be it. Every time I come by a garage or an old building or something like that and I see a sign up that it's a good fundamental independent Baptist church, I say, thank the Lord. I've been there. I know what that's like. And you have to start somewhere, and there's always an opportunity to preach and a place to preach if you're willing to preach. But I want to tell you about another side that's coming up. That's really a burden on my heart. I attend preachers' fellowships and what have you, and I have served with some of the greatest men God's put on the face of this earth. But so many of us now are old, and because of health or one reason or another, we're passing off the scene. But there are numbers of churches coming up in the soon foreseeable future that's going to have, if they keep going, they've got to have a pastor. Now, here's what's happening. This has just happened in one of the great churches in eastern North Carolina, and it's a sad thing. It's a tragedy. I want you to remember something, young people. The devil never builds anything. God teaches us the great doctrine of separation, and the devil's philosophy is infiltration. God's people over the years, God has used to build some great churches in this country that have stood for God. And you know what has happened so many times, and it's happening now. Men who have the right vocabulary but the wrong heart infiltrate these churches. Oh, they put on a big front when they come in, meeting the pulpit committee and so forth. I presume they do. I would hope they didn't get in there. And then when they get in there, they start their change, and I don't mean this little procedure, that procedure, but they lead the church off in a direction that God never intended that church to go. There's a church in Eastern North Carolina now that, again, I knew the founder of that church. He was a fundamentalist with a capital F. Loved God, won souls. A man followed him, and then a man followed him. Now the preacher who is there now calls people who believe, as I do, and I believe you do, that God has preserved his word for us in this Bible. I'm speaking about King James Version of the Bible. That pastor now calls people who take the position that you take and I take, they call us fanatics and heretics. And that church was built by people who believe what you and I believe. Unless God intervenes in some way, that church is gone, and that's a tragedy. But there are so many more. I attend these fellowships, and dear friend, most of the people who are there, most of the preachers there, just like myself, they're old. And we've got to have a generation of preachers coming up that love God, take the right kind of stand for the Lord, and will not deceive the people when you get into the churches. This didn't just start yesterday. I was thinking this morning that a year after I graduated, I was in graduate school, and I went to an alumni meeting, and there were people there from different classes, and somebody said, when did you graduate? I said, I graduated last year, and they just kind of chuckled, because I was so new. Then a year later, I went back to my 50th anniversary. That's about how quick it goes by. You're going to be involved in one of the busiest times in your life, and I'm telling you, it can be a blessed time in your life. I want you to know that you are needed. I mean, you are needed. That's what has blessed my heart so much coming here today, was hopefully be able to share that with you. I wish that we were nearer to Ambassador Baptist College. I really do, but we're too far away for people to come on extension. But these churches who have the privilege to have you in, they're blessed indeed, and I hope you appreciate the opportunity to go into these churches and serve. I hope you do. God bless you for it. Well, there'll be other things that I'm sure that I will wish I had said, but I'd like you to take your Bible today and turn with me to two portions of Scripture. First of all, if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37 and put a marker, a finger, or something there, Ezekiel chapter 37. And isn't it wonderful to be saved and have the privilege to serve the Lord? Isn't that marvelous? All this in heaven too. Isn't that great? I'm telling you, it is. It's really great. Don't ever let anybody get you on a pity trip because you surrendered to serve God. That's the biggest honor in the world. That's the greatest honor in the world, man. Have you found Ezekiel 37? You put a marker there. Would you go with me over to Jeremiah chapter 5? Man, it's good to see Brother Alba here this morning. I see him right down here today. His dad and I made friends many years ago at the Harvest Baptist Church in Guam. He was the control room sound operator out there in that church. I don't think Brother David would mind me saying this. His dad was a Mormon that got saved out there. He was in the Navy, a Navy chief that got saved. And God saved him, then called him into the ministry. He's a faithful pastor today. I appreciate Brother Ron Alby. Brother Johnson, he's around here somewhere. I saw him a while ago. He's up in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and his granddaddy was one of the greatest soul winners I ever knew, Brother Gene Johnson. His dad is a faithful pastor, got a faithful brother in the ministry. Good to meet Brother Elliott and folks over here, retired Marine. I knew when he walked into the service over at Maranatha, and I saw that high cider. We had a Marine there, and I thank God for that. I pastor military folks, and I love them. I thank the Lord for it. God saved me while I was in the Navy. I was a Navy corpsman, and then for my sea duty, I was selected to go with the Fleet Marines, and I was with the 1st Marine Division when the Lord called me to preach. So I have a great love for our military, and I appreciate them, and I'm glad I've been able to work with them over the years. Of course, we've got a number of civilians as well. All right. Have we found our text now? Ezekiel chapter 37 and Jeremiah chapter 5. All right, let's stand, if you will, in respect to the Lord's word. And we'll start here in Jeremiah chapter 5. And I just want to read three verses here with you, in verses 19 through 21. And then, Lord willing, we'll be seated, and then we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Dr. Camp, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please, sir? All right, let's remain standing. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that we are living today in our country, in this world. I believe we're living, facing the same conditions that Judah faced when Jeremiah was preaching. Okay? I've been convinced of this for a long time. And I have been in a long series of messages with our folk at Calvary and on our radio broadcast and so forth. From the book of Jeremiah. Because I really believe that the same conditions that destroyed Judah are the same conditions that's destroying our country. God raised up Jeremiah to preach just like he's raised you up to preach. And I really believe that we're going to be facing a lot of the things Jeremiah faced. You know, he was sent many different places to preach. And he got discouraged. I've been discouraged, man. Somebody said, isn't Monday morning the time when preachers quit? Well, sometimes, and then sometimes it's every morning. Amen? Sometimes you just don't want to get out of bed almost. But anyway, Jeremiah, he had his ups and downs. He was a real human being. But the messages that God used him to preach, I believe, are the messages that we ought to be preaching today. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are taught that these things were written for our examples. They're here for our admonition. All right, Jeremiah chapter 5. Here was Jeremiah's heartbeat right here, a part of his heartbeat. Verse 19, he said, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. Now watch this. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. He said, there's something down inside of me that tells me we're in trouble, big time trouble. Now, he said this. He said, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. And he asked this question. And fellows and girls, you hold part of the answer to this question. He said, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Would you read that verse aloud with me, please? How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Would you read it one more time? How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? All right, you may be seated. I'll tell you how long that's going to be. As long as the Lord gives us grace to preach God's word and to stand for him, and to fly the bloodstained banner of the cross, we're going to have a standard by God's grace, and there'll be somebody that will be sounding the trumpet for God, and we need, oh, how we need a distinct sound to the trumpet. We need, listen, prepare, get everything you can while you're here. Believe me, you're going to need everything you get here and much, much more. But you're blessed to be able to be in this school, a school that God has raised up, and he has put his hand of approval on it. You've got people here who really believe the word of God and stand for the word of God and encourage you to do what's right. I believe like Jeremiah did. Now, sometimes I don't know. I have a conflict in my preaching. I really do. Because according to the book of Ezekiel, God has made us as preachers. He's made us watchmen. And we are responsible for sounding the alarm to God's people. By the same token, there are some things that folks are just not ready yet to receive. The Lord Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them now. But he said, howbeit, when the Spirit of God has come, he said, he'll reveal these things to you. There are things in the Word of God that no doubt I'm not able to receive yet. But as I go along, the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God to my heart. But I'll tell you this, I can receive some things now that I used to could not receive as a young man. And I can receive some things now being down the road a little further. Not that I think I'm somebody, haven't even come close to learning at all. But here's what I'm getting at. If what I'm reading is true, and I have reason to believe that it is, some of the current events and so forth, we're getting ready to face a cataclysmic time in this country. There is no way that our country can go on in the path of sin that it's in, turn its back on God, mocking God, killing babies, promoting perversion, disdaining righteousness. God's not going to bless that. God couldn't be God and bless that. I sing, God bless America. I want God to bless America, but God's not going to bless sin. Now, we had some hope in this last election. Thank the Lord for that. The Bible makes it clear, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. But, dear friend, our hope is not going to be in man. It's got to be in the Lord. We're in a mess today. But there is a solution to it. There is. And that's what I want you to see here today. It is projected that America is going to break up into six territories. This is by a Russian professor that I have followed for some time. His name is Igor Panarin. He has studied the United States for many, many years. 10 years ago, he made this prediction, by the way, when we were, so to speak, on top. Is he right? I don't know. I hope he's not right, but I have reason to believe that he is, because the Bible makes it clear that a divided house can't stand. And we're a divided, very divided nation today. Unless God moves in and does something to unify the hearts of our people, there's not going to be any hope for us as a country. We've already lived out the history of democracies. We've already passed that. The normal lifespan of a democracy is 200 years. And by the way, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. And there's a lot of difference between the two. But we have pretty well, we have lived that out. We have gone past that. Is there hope? Well, we found that in the book of Jeremiah time and time again. We find in the book of Isaiah, do we not? My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. I believe that. I believe that's a promise from God Almighty. But if there's not a changing, if there's not a turning, we're in trouble. Now, this brings us to Ezekiel chapter 37 today, where Ezekiel was called to go out to this valley. And man, what a sight did he behold when he got there, because he saw nothing there but a valley of bones. Now, these were human bones. I want you to see this with me. In chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, let that burn into your heart today. You're looking out here at all these bones. They're scattered everywhere. I was down in Mexico some time back, and they have a little different practice down there, at least in the area that I was in. You pay so much. Of course, you do most any cemetery. You pay so much to bury somebody in there. But they buried some folks in there, evidently, and evidently their family didn't pay up because they dug them up and left the bones laying on the ground. I mean, you just walk around among human bones, and I guess, you know, it's kind of like paying your rent on an apartment. If you don't pay it, you don't get to keep it. And so they did. But, I mean, that's the literal truth. There were just bones laying around here. You just step around the bones as you go through the graveyard, you know. And if I looked at those bones and God said to me, you think they're going to live, I'll tell you, it would challenge everything in me. And old Ezekiel, he was out there, and God said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Preach, in other words. Get out here and preach to these bones. Boy, that's a challenge, is it not? Preaching in the graveyard? Preaching in the boneyard? And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Now here's the interpretation. Scripture always has an interpretation, but it can also have many applications. And let's get the interpretation right. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord God. So we know the interpretation. By the way, I was listening to a program just the other day on our Christian radio, and if you ever have the opportunity to listen to FBN, by all means listen to it. It's a great radio ministry. It'll never hurt your faith. There is no such thing as any alternate versions on there. It's just the received text, the King James Version of the Bible. And also the music, there's no contemporary music on that network as well. And I thank the Lord for it. But I was listening to a program here just the other day, and it was speaking about the many different people that are going back to Israel right now from around the world. And they just say, we just believe God happens to do this. We just feel drawn to go back. God's going to draw that valley of bones back together. But I want to make the application today. I want to make the application to the where we are right now, and the challenges we're facing right now. All right, let's begin here now in chapter 37. He said he brought me down and set me down in the valley that was full of bones. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I want to tell you this, the ministry is going to challenge everything in you. And the sooner you can learn, by the grace of God, it's not you, but Christ in you, that's going to get the job done, the better you're going to be. We all have to go through the stages, I'm sure. We all have to get to the place where God shows us the weakness of our own flesh, the weakness of our own lives. By nature, we're proud, are we not? We are. We're proud, very proud being. And I'll assure you this, somewhere in your ministry, somewhere as you serve God, God is going to bring you into some kind of circumstances that will bring you to the end of yourself. I don't know how far I get with this today, but I just want to share some things with you. I had been in New Bern, North Carolina. I graduated from Bob Jones many, many years ago, and the church called me in October of 1962. We went there. They had been meeting for about a year. It was a very divisive group of people. I didn't know it at the time, of course. And I'm just a young preacher and willing to take on the world and what have you. And so I get there, and the second Sunday that I was there, the second Sunday after they called me, I preached, and I preached on, having a log in your own eye and trying to get a speck out of somebody else's eye. I really waxed eloquent. And a fellow who would later be my nemesis, that would challenge everything in me and bring me to the end of myself, he walked by me that morning. I was shaking hands with folks going out of church. He said, if you had preached like that last week, you probably wouldn't be here today. He was a man later that when I would have to rebuke his son over some things that were wrong, he told me I wasn't man enough to come to his house and tell him that. Well, I figured I couldn't let him back me down. I don't know if I'd do that today or not, but I went. And he looked at me and he meant this. He said, "You just wait." He said, "I was the first one here and I'm going to be the last one to leave. And one of these days, I'm going to blow this church apart." What he told me. Scared me. There was an aura about him that's hard to describe. I just about went to pieces. I was really on the verge of a nervous breakdown, you don't know the truth. I was ready to quit. In fact, I gave my resignation. I'd been there a year. I gave my resignation. I had a same contract I have now. 4 weeks. Church can give me a 4 weeks notice and I'm through, or I can give them a 4 weeks notice. I like that. I like that kind of system. I had preached down to the last service. I had one Sunday night service to go and my responsibilities was over. And I don't have time to develop all this for you. I just hope maybe some of you will remember this in the days that lie ahead. That Sunday afternoon, I was going to be on a committee examining a man for the ministry over in another city. An old deacon in our church said, "Preacher, can we have a meeting this afternoon?" I said, "You have anything you want. I'm through after tonight." And when I came back that night, for that last night service, the church was just buzzing. "You hear what happened today?" I said, "No, I didn't hear what happened today." Oh, man, they began to tell me. And God, in his miraculous grace, had used that old deacon to face some enemies in that church that you could hardly believe. And God, that afternoon, turned that situation around. That man that put his finger in my face and said, "You just wait. I was the first one here. I'm going to be the last one to leave." He would sit back there for a while and throw everything back at me that I preached. You're 39 years old. I got a call. He was in the hospital. Went by to see him. Want to try to make things right. Told me he didn't want me in his room. He died at 39 years old. By the grace of God, the church was not destroyed. But I'll tell you what God did do. He brought me to an end of myself. And I'll tell you what God did for me. He taught me that the Calvary Baptist Church is not mine. And it doesn't belong to the people. It belongs to the Lord. Now, I can tell you that, but until you go through something like this, you're not going to really appreciate what I'm telling you today. I'm telling you that somewhere along the road in your ministry, God, in his grace, is going to bring you to the end of yourself so that he can work through you. I've always been obedient to the Lord. No, you know I haven't. I wish I had been. But I'll tell you this, I have never gotten away from this truth. That I am what I am by the grace of God. I understand this today that I have the great privilege, and this is a privilege to me to stand here in this chapel service with you today. But it's just by God's grace that I'm here. Can these bones live? And I like the way that Ezekiel answered him. Brother, I like this. He said, "I don't know." So I don't see that there. Well, just kind of read between the line a little bit here. He said, "Can these bones live?" And he said, "Oh, Lord God, thou knowest." And the implication is, I don't know. Well, Lord, I don't see how in the world they can. God's going to call some of you to preach to some people in some places, and you're going to face this very same principle, and the Spirit of God is going to say to you, "You think this? There's hope here?" Man, it's a time like this when it's easy to get the idea that I'd like to go somewhere else. Can these bones live? He said, "Lord, I don't know." Lord said, "All right, I see my time. I got to move with this now. I'm getting too comfortable up here in this pulpit, okay? All right. And I thank the Lord for that. You're an easy group to preach to, and I thank the Lord for that. Now, here's what is going to happen. So he said unto me, in verse 4, God said, basically, Ezekiel, I got a plan for this. He said, you prophesy on these bones. You just get out here and preach. It's going to be my responsibility to give them life. But it's going to be your responsibility to preach to them. Now, I want to tell you this, dear friend. It took a lot of grace for Ezekiel to do this. Kind of like Brother Johnny Daniels, one of my favorite missionaries, brothers in Christ down in Carolina, Puerto Rico, Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Man, I'm telling you, I love that man, the ministry God has given him. He served for a number of years down in Dominica. And he was called to go to the Carib Indian Reservation down there. And I'm telling you, you're talking about going to a place where he was not wanted. That was there. He said for the first several months, I guess, that he preached to nobody but his family. And they got a little old house up on stilts down there to finally got an opportunity to use it. And he said every Sunday, they came by and stoned that building and tried to shake them out of it. Boy, it took a lot of grace to keep going. And he said nobody would come to the service. He said, so I would stand out on the road and preach into the jungle. He said, but I knew in my heart there was somebody out there listening. And they were. They were curious. And they would hide out in the jungle out there. And then over a period of time, God broke that barrier down. I'm telling you, it is one of the most interesting stories to hear. And today, by the grace of God, there's a good fundamental independent Baptist church down there with a Christian school. And God's just doing a great work. Through a couple, the man was from the Caribbean, his wife was from the Caribbean Preserve. That's another story in itself I wish I had time to tell you. But can these bones live? Yes, they can live if God will give them life. Brother Johnny Daniels, was it worth it? Oh, he said it was worth it and more. I'll assure you this. Can these bones live? Now, he said, if you'll preach, he said, verse 4, you preach these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And fellas, I know, and ladies, I know this might sound very elementary to you, but that's really all we've got a license to preach is the word of God. And can I make this statement? That's all you need? This is God's word. This book lives. You, if you'll preach this word and leave the results in God's hand, I'll tell you, you will see God do some miraculous things. Now, how many bones are there in the human body? 206, 207, is that what it is? Any of you help me out on that? That's close enough. Okay. All right, there's one less rib in the ladies, I know that. But there's 206. Now, can you imagine looking at this graveyard, here's a skull, and here's a collarbone, and here's a leg bone, and here's some feet bones, and, you know, carpals and metatarsals, and humerus and femurs, and occipitals, and vertebrae, and all that. They're just scattered. Now, that just makes up one body. But there are thousands of them out there. And here is this preacher. He's standing up, and he's preaching, and you're going to be called to preach to people who are absolutely spiritually dead. They are religious many times, but they are dead. And you're going to one apartment for this. I not only have a frog in my throat, I can't get him to uncross his legs, okay? But if I can get him to cooperate with me just a little bit here, we'll be all right. Now, he said, if you'll preach, God said, I'll take care of the results. Now, he said, I'll lay sinews upon you. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, here's where our part comes in. Look in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I preached like God told me to preach. Man, how many times folks started churches and all they had to preach to was their wife and children? We started a church down in Pelham, South Carolina, many, many, many years ago when I was a student in school. And we were trying to round up people. And many, many times, the only person basically we had besides the folks we brought with this Bible club with the children we started with was a little boy by the name of Sam. And Sam was the son of the village prostitute. And they'd let us bring Sam to the service. We'd bring a washcloth with us. We'd wash his little face and so forth because he would usually be, he'd usually be real dirty and so forth. And man, we'd have a service. And our congregation was made up of our family and Sam, and that was it. But by the grace of God, we preached. And over a period of time, God brought folks in, and people began to get saved. I told you about going up to New Bern and things getting off to such a rocky start up there, but I want to tell you this. God's raised up one of the greatest churches, as far as I'm concerned, in this country today. It's the people in the Calvary Baptist Church. And we've been through a lot of ups and downs and rounds and so forth. But it is during those times that you get your heart welded in with your people. Don't you ever forget that. All right. Don't let me get off another rabbit trail here. I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, how many times you're going to face this, only God knows. You're going to preach and you're going to think, Lord, was it worth anything? Did anything happen? I know I've had times where I just knew I struck out. Just zip. Never touched the ball. Want to run out the back door of the church. And some kind soul comes up and says, Pastor, that sure did bless my heart today. And I want to say, it did. Are you sure you were here in this church? He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I love this, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Can't you picture that? Here comes a skull, here comes a spine, here comes all these bones together, and all of a sudden, you have got human skeletons formed out here, just laying all night. No longer scattered bones. But they're just skeletons. And then the Bible says that God put sinews on them. I prophesied in verse 7, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and skin covered them above. But watch this, but there was no breath in them. We got to get people in to hear the word of God. They got to be preached to. The only hope is the Lord. But until God moves in their heart, you've got nothing. Listen, what did you have at this stage? Now, what did you have? You had nothing but a bunch of beautiful corpses, right? Real healthy-looking corpses. I mean, any funeral home would have been glad to get that kind of reputation. But the problem was, every one of them was dead. And you can have all the machinery and all the mechanism and all the gathering power, and you can get them all together. But I want to tell you this, unless God breathes on it, it's dead. Dead. Now he said, here now, verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. You know, we live in a peninsula. New Bern's a peninsula between two rivers, the Neuse and the Trent. And the Neuse means spirit or breath. God said, now, we've got them gathered together. But they've got to have what only I can give. But he said, now you preach. And you preach with the power of God. And you preach depending on the power of God to put life in these people. You can't do it, Ezekiel. I can't do it. This is where we come to the end of our ability, and God's got to do it. prophesy unto the wind, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And here's the key. So I prophesied as he commanded me. I just kept preaching, preaching. And the breath came into them. That's from the Lord. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Listen, is not Adam an example of this? When God created Adam, he made him from the dust of the earth, formed him and so forth. And then the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils a breath of life and man became a living soul. This is not true with a person getting saved. You preach the gospel, you get them under the sound of the gospel, you give them the word of God. But dear friend, except the Spirit of God draw them, except the Spirit of God move in their hearts and lives, you can persuade until you're blue in the face. But until the power of God moves in that soul and shows them that they're a wicked sinner and they need to be saved, they need to trust Christ as their Savior, they're not going to be changed. I don't have time. It's time for me to finish. Let me just say this. You be sure that you are familiar with the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, God had called Ezra and volunteers to go back and rebuild the temple. Almost 50,000 people volunteered to go back. They got back there and started rebuilding the temple and things got going well, and then there came a lot of problems from within and without. Some false letters, false accusations was made against the people of God. And the government came in and shut them down. You read the last part of Ezra chapter 4, they came by arm and by force and shut them down. 16 years they were shut down. And God said, I've had enough of this. So what did he do? He called Haggai and Zechariah. And he said, Haggai and Zechariah, you go in there and preach. And brother, they did that. I believe the books of Haggai and Zechariah are the messages they preached. I think they are. They went in and preached, and when they began to preach, God gave the life, and hearts were stirred. They started rebuilding that temple, and what was it, in about 52 days? Well, no, I take that back. That was a wall, I believe, but it was not but a short time, and that temple was finished. It could not be stopped because God sent his preachers to town, and they preached the word of God. God gave life to the thing, gave protection and leadership to the people, and the temple was rebuilt. The Bible says they prospered under the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. I believe this. I believe that the greatest insurance policy any community has is a good fundamental Bible-believing New Testament Baptist church. I believe that. I believe that God will bless it. I believe he'll bless it. And he's going to call you. He has called many of you, and I want to commend you. I want to thank you for surrendering to the Lord's work. I want to thank you. I want you to know you're needed. I want you to know you're loved. I want you to know you're appreciated. I want you to know that you've got people on the sidelines who are pulling for you. God said, prophesy, preach. Be instant in season, out of season. There's going to be a lot of in season, a lot of out of season. Just keep on going by the grace of God. Keep on going. You do what God tells you to do. I'll promise you this, God always will do what he says he will. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing comparable to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and know that whatever area of God's work you're in, God has used you for his honor and glory. Father, oh, what an awesome opportunity lies before us here today for thee and for thy glory. I pray for this student body, faculty, staff, and administration, the families they represent, the ministries that they represent. God bless them. Lord, take these failing words of myself and use thy powerful word that we've tried to preach to encourage their hearts to go on for thee. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, as thou hast said. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, breathe on them. Use them, build a hedge of protection about them, and give us grace to serve Thee, that Thy name will be lifted up and be glorified, that the lost will be saved, that churches will be built, Christians be edified. And we'll thank Thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. While you do it, keep looking up. Our Lord's coming, all right?